Hey, everybody. Whoa, who's this? Who's this talking right now? It's Clayton, because Tim is gone, so I got my co-host, Kellen Tarrant, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
All right. We are already redlining this thing.
Oh, boy.
Kellen and I are equally loud, which is not a great thing, because that tends to be the problem with this podcast. What podcast is that, you might be asking? It's Talking Games with Kellen and Clayton? Are we
Clayton and Kellen, I think. I think that sounds better.
Let's call it Tim and Clayton.
Let's keep it there.
You know, why don't we call it Nerdlogs Presents?
Oh, there we go.
Talking Games with Clayton and Clayton.
Yes.
And sometimes Kellen.
I'm sure we have that URL already set up.
I'm pretty sure I bought it when I bought that Wii U when I was a little tipsy over the holidays. That was a good time. And let's welcome our guest, Nicole Vespa.
Oh, wow.
Longtime fan of the show.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Most time girlfriend of me during the show.
Yes.
Okay.
Nicole, would you say you have been a guest of the show, a silent guest of the show in the other room?
Oh, I've been a silent guest of the show a few times.
Yes.
Usually I'll have the door shut and I might be playing a game, but every now and again I will take the headphones off and listen to a bit of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only during the good stuff.
I yeah, it's know. Usually the parts where you would be burning Tim in some way or
yeah.
another.
Yeah, oh. Folks at home, you are going to miss out on that. Now it's going to be me torturing Kellen.
Which we're all fine with. I think the viewership is going to increase because people are like, God damn it, we have to hear Kellen on another podcast. At least he's going to get it. At least he's going to get it from Clayton now. Clayton, what have you been playing with recently? At the time of this recording, we are outside of the Thanksgiving Day holiday.
Right.
So you probably had some time to play some video games, yes?
I did not.
No,
I was in North Carolina for most of it. So.
Oh, okay.
But I did by Dragon Age Inquisition.
Very nice.
I've been playing that a lot.
And you're playing it on your PC?
Yeah, it is not great, but I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
It's like, not great,
it's
huh?
It's pretty, yeah, it's kind of like all the problems with it, I'm like, oh yeah, I could see why people would like fucking hate this, but I'm enjoying it just fine. It's
interesting.
It's kind of like a Skyrimmed up version, like you can like call your horse at any time and like get on a mount and like run around this area, and like at least on the PC there's a lot of technical issues with especially like the frame rate is locked at 30 frames per second for the cutscenes, which looks fucking weird when the rest of the game is not locked at 30 frames per second. So I had to do some fiddling around, but it's fine. It's totally like, it's really fun because the gameplay and the combat flows well, but man, it's just like plagued by weird issues.
Is it good to see BioWare kind of like putting more effort and energy into the Dragon Age universe, or just...
Yeah, I mean, they definitely... I didn't play 2, so I don't fucking know, but I guess they fixed a lot of problems with that. And I'm you know, it's drawn me in, and I want to keep playing and like doing quests and stuff like that.
Cool.
It feels a little bit more open, a little bit more exploratory. Nicole, are you playing anything right now?
Yes.
Do you want to tell folks about it?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I've primarily been playing a lot of Spelunky.
Nice.
Like, pretty much all 100% Spelunky all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
On the plane ride back from Raleigh, I went back to Rayman Run on my phone, you know, just to squeeze out a few more looms. See if I can do any better on some of those. But the only thing that's left right now are the really impossibly hard levels, so it was mostly frustrating.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I've been playing a really stupid game that I can't seem to put down called Spider-Man Unlimited, which is a iOS and Android game where it's just like a free runner game and you play as Spider-Man. And
I've heard about this.
Yeah, it's really stupidly addicting, and most freemium games I'm kind of like, yeah, this is stupid, but like the design of it is great, and as like a nerd who likes comic books, I'm like,
turning a fan on.
Yeah,
oh, people at home,
oh boy,
don't,
they're probably wondering
your explanation.
What's happening in the back? It's a fun game. I haven't spent any money on it, and they have like these little mini challenges, and over the weekend, of the 100,000 people who play the game across the world, I got 29th in everybody who plays the game in terms of points, which made me feel awesome and terrible.
Yeah.
Because I texted some friends of mine and were like, check this out. And they're like, oh, fuck, we have to stop playing this game now because we're bragging about being good at it.
This is rough.
Yes.
This is bad.
Kinda,
this is bad. So
it's kind of... I mean, but you've got a child.
I do. Yeah,
you've accomplished some things in life.
I have.
This and isn't when your biggest claim to fame.
No. And it's the sort of game where it's like when I want to, because Tim let me borrow his PlayStation 3, and when I want to sit down and play 6 hours and I can't, I can play for 3 minutes and feel good.
Oh, good.
Well, yes. Good. Well, there you go.
What games do you have for the PS3? Just the ones I gave you?
Yes. I tried playing Uncharted 2, having never played Uncharted 1, and instantly was like, nope, I have to play the first one.
Yeah.
I have to, because I want to play them all in a row and I want to have the whole sort of complete experience.
I'm fiddling with the mic.
Yeah, please fiddle away.
But I don't know what I'm doing.
Imagine
that I know what I'm doing.
Yes.
Maybe it'll come true.
Maybe.
All right. Fuck it.
So, Clayton, what are we talking about today?
Good question, Nicole. No.
wow.
Well, Nicole, you did kind of come up with a good idea.
It's basically like the games where you decide you need to complete everything, or that compulsion that you get sometimes to do all of the side quests. You have to 100% the game in some way or another.
Yeah.
Because I'm a type of person who, like growing up, I was always like, if I start reading a book, I will read the entire book. I'm going to read all of it. I'm going to complete every assignment. I'd never, you know, like took an easy way out of doing any assignment. So when I do games, there are so many times where I'm like, I need to do everything. And that's so unnecessary in so many games that it's like a weird thing to try to break out of. But
yeah,
I think a lot of people feel like they need to complete games as well. And that's not just me being weird about it.
Can we back up for a second? Yeah. Do you ever not complete books? Like, what is that? Like, do you skip around with a book? Like, I don't want to read this chapter? Or
No. I mean, like, as a kid, if I picked up a book, if I didn't like it, I still felt like I had to read it all.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like, I would never, like, start something and not finish it.
It's what I call the Tim Ryder effect, where any game he picks up, he feels kind of like bad if he doesn't finish it, at least finish the story. And I have a little bit of that with games, but not as much as I used to.
Yeah. I mean, it used to sort of, like, one of the early games I played that wasn't just, like, platformer, collect all the coins type of games was Ocarina of Time, actually. And that was one where, like, I didn't beat the final boss for forever because I was like, I need to get that 100th Skulltola. I found 99. I need to keep going around the world looking for this stupid spider.
You've talked on the podcast before about how, like, there's some games you pick up and you're like, you know right away.
Instantly.
Like, I'm going to play this whole game and I'm going to find everything I can in it. And then there's the games where you pick up and it's like, I might finish the story.
Yeah, and I will probably not do any side quests. I will probably not do much. I know for me, Majora's Mask was a game that I never finished because I was trying to 100% it.
Yeah.
Which I felt very silly with because I've never finished that game. And I'm very excited that it's coming out on 3DS eventually.
There you go.
So,
there are a lot of games I've actually also never finished because I liked the game so much that I didn't want them to end.
Oh, I have that same compulsion.
I have several where I've gotten to the final boss and I just never did that last step because I'm like, well, maybe there are other things I can do first. And it's like, no, you've done everything. Like, go beat him now. And I'm just like, well, I don't know. Because then it'll be over, and then what will I do?
And maybe that's connected to the whole idea of, like, wanting to 100% it. Like, you've put all this energy into it, so the idea of completing it in its entirety means you don't have any reason to come back to the game ever again.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend of mine named Ryan Ben, and he just recently picked up Red Dead Redemption again and started playing it. He never 100%ed it, but now he wants to go back and try and 100% it because he's like, I have a reason to go back and play the game, and that's to finally complete it. But it does feel strange to want to do that because then you don't really ever need to play the game again, and that seems kind of sad.
Yeah. Yeah. But then on the other hand, there are the games like, I feel like Skyrim was one where it broke me of my need to do everything because you just couldn't do everything in the game. Or there comes a point where you're like, I need to do something else besides play Skyrim.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, speaking of which, I did try to 100% Fallout 3.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I think I got, if I didn't do it, I got really goddamn close because I was like, I was obsessed with that game. I was unemployed at the time, so I had like 6 months just like put into that game. I put hundreds of hours into it. I found every location. I tried to do every quest I could find. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. It's, like, too much. And that's also a game where once you beat it, the game is over. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, yeah.
unless you get the DLC, which I, of course, did get when it came out. But when I first got it, that didn't exist. I couldn't... Yeah, it's crazy. Like... That, and in Skyrim, you literally can't because those guys will keep sending you out on, like, Radiant quests or whatever that are kind of, I don't know, they're kind of bullshit because they're just like, go save this townsperson or whatever. It's like, I don't want to fucking do this.
And from a role-playing aspect as well, I tried to do 100% on Fallout 3 and couldn't, but you could, as your character, whatever sort of role-playing aspect of the game you wanted to do, you could that. But when Skyrim, it seemed like, oh, well, if I've been going on this sort of path of being an assassin, suddenly I have to go and become a wizard? Well, that doesn't match up with who I am.
Yeah.
But I felt like in the Fallout world, it kind of made sense why you could be a jack-of-all-trades living in that sort of world.
Big time. Yeah. Well, in that game, it's all just like guns. Fallout 3 especially, it's like, let me put all my points into small guns. Okay, cool. I now rule the world. Like, nothing can kill me.
I tried Fallout once and just tried to do melee, and quickly
Fallout
became
3?
Yeah, in Fallout 3, quickly became a, I'm just going to be a stealth guy, and if if anybody comes at me, hopefully I can crush them. But it became very, very difficult to just do that in melee. Because most of it is about distance, about trying to keep as far away from people as you possibly can. So.
I do love, I heard someone like plays that game by just going around picking up any weapons, like melee weapons, and they just smash people with them until they break and then throw them away and then pick up another one. I'm like, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I would enjoy doing that. I don't, but... Like, 100% games, not something I do a lot of anymore. Mm-hmm. I used to. But.
I think it like comes from sort of this like, well, when you're a kid and you're playing a game, you're like, there's no reason for me not to keep going back and doing this obsessively until I complete a thing. And especially like early on when I was playing like Mario games where it's like, get all the stars, get all the coins.
Yeah.
That's a very easy thing to be like, yes, I want to do all of this. Mm-hmm. But then at the end of the day, you're a little bit like, I'm basically doing, like, a really boring day job just over and over again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, I'm just, like, doing a busy work task, and there's no higher meaning to it. I'm just collecting stars and collecting coins to get more stars.
Yeah. And there's not a reward in the game. I think Nintendo got better about that with the Mario Galaxy games, about, like, well, the more stars that you get, then it's easier to get other levels, and you can unlock other stuff, so there's a reason to do that busy work. But I remember doing the same thing with, like, Mario 3 and being like, why am I going to these worlds when I can just jump ahead? Like, if the point of the game is to get to the final level, why would I do level 3, 4, and 5 if I can get, the flute and jump to this other level?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kellen found the warp zone!
Woo! And I think there's this odd kind of dichotomy that happens where we as, like, culturally maybe as human beings want to complete something, but we're also lazy and we realize that if we sit and spend 100 hours playing a video game,
That's probably also not a good use of time.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to, like, you're like, alright, if I'm gonna play the game for 80 hours, I better at least be able to say I 100% of the game.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, Nicole, you are not looking to get every achievement in Spelunky.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, you've put how many hours into that game?
This is combined both of us playing because Steam keeps track of how many hours you put into any game, which is a good and terrible thing.
Oh, yeah. you dirty bastard, Steam.
I think collectively Clayton and I have sunk probably, like, close to 140 hours.
Whoa!
Into Spelunky.
How long is your average run, then?
Well, I would say a good run is about a half hour.
Yeah.
Because you make it pretty far.
Sure.
But on a bad day, I will not get to the ice caves. And I will just keep dying over and over again and do it for, like, 2 hours until I'm like, this is a waste of time. I'm too angry to continue.
Okay, so real quick, like, philosophy in Spelunky, because Spelunky is one of my all-time favorite games. Do you play until the ghost shows up, or do you try and get to the end of the level as quickly as possible?
I'm not a speed race person.
Okay.
I tend to... I feel like it's weird. Like, Clayton chooses to break certain rules pretty compulsively, like...
So, you're going to kill the shop. Rocky Brian?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He always steals the shot. And when I try to, I can pull it off a couple of times, but I'm just not great at it, so mm-hmm. I mostly play by the rules.
Sure.
So I try to get as much, you know, gold that's easy to get.
Okay.
I almost always, like, my early strategy in the game is to either always pick up the pug, so I'm like upping myself on hearts, sure. or always mm-hmm. sacrifice him within the cave, so that then you get that
yeah.
what the Kapala thing mm-hmm. that allows you to keep like yeah. re-upping your hearts. So that's my strategy early on, is to just get as many items and hearts as I can before I get to the forest,
yeah.
which is unreasonably hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is so much harder than the stupid ice levels, which are hard yeah. for a different reason. But
right.
I feel like. Well, you need all of those sort of, you need to get to the black market before you get to the ice level, because otherwise you could just be, you know, like falling off the edge somewhere because yeah. you don't have spike boots and you're falling off the ice.
I've never gotten to the ice level without a jetpack. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I've never gotten there without a jetpack.
I've gotten there and it's been so frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it with a cape, but if you don't have a compass, it's really difficult.
Ooh, yeah.
Because then you're just sort of
cape
guessing.
And climbing gloves, I think.
Cape and climbing gloves.
You're pretty much fine in the ice levels. Then.
Yeah, cape and climbing gloves.
Because you can climb
gloves.
Up the sides, yeah. mm-hmm. which is
that,
key.
That's yes. a good combo. Yeah, anytime you have jetpack and gun, you're like
oh, you're
set
safe.
For life.
Absolutely.
The gun is great, but I yeah. feel like it's a little bit of a liability if you get it first level of caves, because then you can't carry other things around. Like, it's hard to deal with the pug if you're trying to send him. Well, my damsel is always the pug.
The pug, yeah. you don't have the mansel.
I don't have the no. mansel.
Or the sloth.
Yeah, no. Have you seen the sloth?
No, I haven't seen the sloth.
Oh my god, one time I ran into the sloth randomly in the black market and just took a screenshot of it and sent it to Clayton, like, have you ever seen this? It's just a sloth wearing a red diaper. And,
yeah, weird.
I like
it's
it.
It's just another damsel.
Yeah,
yeah. I like it, but I've switched it out. Like, one time I was like, oh, let's switch the pug to the mm-hmm. sloth. But it makes this really plaintive crying that sounds like, I feel worse to sacrifice it or to let it die or to let it get hit by arrows, because it's like, it sounds like it's crying. I'm just like,
yeah.
I can't handle this.
It's kind of upsetting.
So with Spelunky, obviously there's no completing it. I mean, it's one of those things where, yeah, you can get to the end, or you can get to hell. There are yeah. things that you can do to get to parts of it, but it's, as a roguelike game, it seems like there's really no end to it.
Yeah, it's one where I think it hits a good balance of, like, for me lately, I've been like, okay, I need to stop playing games and trying to do, like, you know, 100 coins at Rayman just
sure.
for the 100 mm-hmm. coins, because mm-hmm. that can get really obsessive and frustrating,
yeah.
and at the end, really not all that rewarding to get two more coins than you did the last time, and, you know, that sort of thing. But, yeah, with Spelunky, I like that it's dynamic, and every game is, I mean, you know what to expect in every level, but it's always set up differently, so sometimes you're at a great advantage, sometimes you're at a great disadvantage, and mm-hmm. it's kind of cool to see how that stuff plays out. Or just the times where you're stupid or really lucky with something weird that happened.
Yeah. Clayton, I mean, hearing I think the word, like, obsessive kind of speaks to some of the ways that I play video games.
Right,
but,
right.
like, has there been a game, maybe not on your PC, but, like, in previous generations growing up playing video games, you would say you were obsessive about and became that sort of completionist?
Man, I remember Final Fantasy X trying
yeah.
to get everyone's fucking weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But I still couldn't fucking do it. I eventually got really tired of, like,
yeah.
you know, fuck this chocobo race.
You don't want to do this exactly. The chocobo race was exactly what I was thinking about.
like, all right, I'll dodge 100 lightning bolts.
Yeah.
That fine. You know what? You want to do this? Fine, I'll do this. But then it was the fucking chocobo race.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I have to have a time of zero
yeah.
to get this ultimate weapon? No thanks. I don't
eat
want to
a
do
dick,
it.
All right?
Yes, eat a huge dick. And I'll debate Jeff Murdoch about that game, but that fucking part of the game absolutely blew and frustrated me beyond all. I
feel like there's certain things that are just so frustrating that you're like, why am I doing this to myself?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't fun.
Actually, I remember the game I really got obsessed with, like, we gotta beat this, we gotta be true ninjas, as it were, with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at the end, Splinter will say, like, you know, you beat it on normal, and he's like, or you beat it on easy, and he'll be like, Right? It's like, that was a good job, but if you want to be a true ninja, you gotta beat it on normal. It's like, fuck that. Yeah, let's do it. So we beat it. We played it again, beat it on normal. It's harder, for sure. That was like, well, that was fine, but you want to be a true ninja, you gotta beat it on hard. Yeah, fuck this asshole. Alright, fine. We beat it on hard. And then you come back and he's like, if you want to be a true ninja, you gotta beat it on like expert or whatever, you know, like the, and it's like, fucking asshole. Alright, fine. We do it. We fight our way through. It is really brutally hard. And we get to the end and Flora goes, congratulations, you are now true ninja. And me and my friends who were playing just like jumped up out of our seats and we're like screaming like, yes! Yes! Yeah! Like, so happy. And I was like, yeah, I don't know, third grade, you know? Like, I was pretty young. But man, oh man, I remember just like, yeah, it was stuff like that. Like, yeah. I gotta fucking
I think it's like,
say it. Say I'm a true ninja, fucking Splinter.
Yeah, it's like, even if the reward in the end is kind of, like, stupid or anticlimactic, it's so satisfying to be like, I've done something that very few other people have done successfully. And that's the thing about Spelunky. Like, there have been a couple of times where, like, I started being really terrible at it. Like, I would play co-op with Clayton and immediately fall in spikes. Like, I don't know what my issue was. It was always death by spikes. He would give me capes, and I would still fall into the spikes. No. I don't even understand.
Yeah.
But,
you might be like, well, there goes that cape.
Yeah.
It's gone now.
I've done a lot of work in spikes.
Yeah.
Oh. God fucking damn it.
But I think that the moments where you or the other person you're playing with, like, pulls off something amazing in those games, it's just like, oh my god, I should have died! This is amazing! I can't believe we won somehow, or made it further. You know?
Fall on spikes.
Yeah.
God damn it, anyway!
Yeah. I like watching Spelunky on Twitch because you can do something called Death Roulette, where you take fake money that you have and you bet on how far the person will get and what will kill them. Yeah. And when you see someone get it right, like, oh, they're gonna die on the ice level because a random alien is going to shoot them, and you see that happen, and you see them someone win, even though it's fake money, it gets you that much more invested, I think, in the game.
Yeah, because you're like, they're going to die. I mean, you're going to die.
You're going to die.
I mean, nine times out of ten, you're going to die in Spelunky.
Yeah. Though that margin gets... or you get better and better.
You get better. You do.
But it's also just like... A lot of it is luck, as much as I hate to admit. Mm-hmm. It's just like, god damn it, like... I'm in the ice levels, I have nothing, because there was nothing in the black market. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, fuck this game.
And that's the thing that brings it back. I mean, I like a lot of rogue games like Crypt of the Necrodancer and Rogue Legacy, these games that aren't really going to be the same anytime I play it. And though the basic mechanics are the same, it makes me continue to come back to it because it keeps that part of my brain interested in, I'm doing the thing that I love doing about like the art style or the game itself. And yet, every time I play it, it still feels new to me, as opposed to something like Skyrim, where you're like, yep, I know exactly where this is, or I know what's going on in this city, and you kind of get a little bored because the world doesn't change like the world we, I guess, kind of live in.
Yeah, and with Skyrim, it's like, there's a point where you can level up to such a point that it's really not too hard to go through the world anymore.
Sure.
Like, there are very few things you encounter that are really going to, like, murder you or do something really life-threatening.
Yeah,
and I feel like the thing with Spelunky is, I mean, it has that sort of arcade game feel where it's a single run.
Yeah.
You have to take it from beginning to end. You don't have the save point. You don't have anything to fall back on later.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's good for someone like me because I tend to be like, save, and be very like precious about the thing that I'm building. And something like that forces you to just be like, nope, just make a decision and then it's over. Or it sucks and just kill yourself and start over.
Yeah.
And I think that's a part of it, too, is like when you want 100% a game, like, yeah, I remember before any conversation and any, like, BioWare game or even, like, fucking, like, Human Revolution, the newest Deus Ex game. Like, I was always like, god, what choice do I make to, like, get the better, you know, like, make sure I don't miss... You know, like a cool upgrade or, you know, get this guy to like me or whatever. And I obsessively like, shit, all right, you know, let's go back, let's make sure I get Miranda to like me, or whatever.
Absolutely,
bullshit. Like,
yeah.
Who gives a fuck? But it's, it really is like, you just want to do the right thing, because
it's
that's
like,
why you play a game, because there are rules.
There
it's
are
like
rules.
This
yeah.
sort of like karmic idea of games of like, I need to get the best outcome out of every interaction.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to go back and redo it over and over again until I Groundhog Day it to the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the game will be over, because I will be happy with it.
Well, let's think about a game like XCOM, though, where you can't do that if you're playing it a certain way, where it's like, nope, you make a mistake, and you gotta live with that mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really hard game. I mean, I don't know if
it was hard for me to do that.
You can play 100% on XCOM, but, like, unlocking everything. I mean, there are choices when you're building your base. I remember playing it for the first time, and I made a mistake, and I was like, oh, I might as well start over, because every decision I make from now on is only going to remind me of this mistake, and I'm just going to be pissed off at myself. So I'm not going to enjoy the game it doesn't matter how long I play it or if I beat it.
I restarted that game like 3 or 4 times, and I was like, sometimes it was hours in, and I was like, nope, fucking didn't know. I didn't know I was going to get this upgrade to like a cooler reactor.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got to do this again.
Yeah.
Which is, it's like, Commander, we really got to save the world here. Nope. I got to start over.
Go to the beginning. And that shows another level of compulsion where you're like, I'm willing to restart all of this just so I don't make that same mistake again.
Yeah, or like, what the fuck? You lose guys if you do the tutorial?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I don't know. Like, because part of it is like a perfectionistic tendency perhaps, but another part is like, you just want the best things to happen, and you want to set yourself up well for everything else, and when you can't go back and do that stuff. Yeah, I totally understand.
Yeah.
Starting
or
over
like
again.
Fucking some of the Civilization games the same way.
Yeah.
Until you realize like, oh, gunpowder, of course.
Oh,
you know? There is that, like, learning curve. And I remember, like, going from Civ 4 to Civ 5, I was like, oh, fucking, I'm like, missing something. I'm missing part of the puzzle here. And it was like, oh, the upgrades are, you don't have to connect them with roads anymore.
Yeah.
Well, of course. You know?
No.
I didn't know that. The other advisors are, like, chiming in, and you're like,
But I don't want to listen to you, and they're like, oh, I just should have. I think some of that comes from, for me, playing Metal Gear Solid for the first time and realizing I have choices, and depending on who I save and depending on what I choose will affect me in the end, and then being able to replay it with those bonuses so I could try and, you know, it's like, I want to help Ocelot, but it's like, do I want to save Meryl, though? Who do I like more? I like this guy or this weird girl? And, like, that game, for me specifically, got a lot of, oh, I want to get the more... I want to see every part of this world. And I think that's the thing for me. It's like, a lot of it is, do you enjoy this world? And if you enjoy the world, you want to see all of it, and you want to touch everything and see what it's like. And that has an effect.
Yeah. Huh? That's definitely it for me, too.
Mm-hmm.
I remember booting up Kingdoms of Amalur for the first time, and I was like, no way. It's like, I'm gonna breeze through this game. I liked parts of it. There's a lot I don't like, but I didn't think the world was interesting enough that I wanted, like, ooh, let me go hunt down this, like, medallion this woman lost in the woods. I was like, fuck that, I don't care. And there were just so many quests. You also just don't give a shit.
Yeah,
there comes a point in some games where it's like, the side quests just feel like busy work.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're like, oh, what, I can get a jar or a bigger purse for going over here. And it's like, I can survive without all that stuff.
Yeah.
And Dragon Age Origins, I wanted to do every quest, and then I realized, like, oh, I can't, like, I don't want to do the assassination quest if I want to be a good guy. Like, that's not a good idea. And now in Inquisition, there's a ton of quests, and I really do want to check them all out. And, like, yeah, I would like fighting these guys. I want to, like, go see what weird cultists are up to or whatever the fuck. And I walked into an area, and it was just a fucking dragon. I was like, what? This is the first, like, open area.
Really?
It's crazy, yeah. He kicked the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And I looked, and I was like, he's level 14, and I'm level 5. Like, that's nuts.
Well, that's cool that can happen. Sometimes it feels like it's on a rail. You're like, oh, well. Like, you get to it. Like, I remember playing Ocarina of Time, and I get to a place, and I was like, well, I can't get through there. Well, I'm in this big open world. Why can't I go to the place I want to go to? Oh, well, I haven't gotten the item to let me go into it, so it doesn't feel like an open world. It still feels like you're on a rail.
Which is why I thought that Link to the Past... Wait, or Link Between Worlds.
Yeah.
Link Between Worlds was so great because... you could use all of the items anywhere, but they worked particularly well in certain temples, you know? And that was something where... like, the more I play games, the more I appreciate when a decision I make is actually a decision. You know what I mean? Because that... And I loved Ocarina of Time, but you can say, no, you don't understand, and no, you don't want to do this thing for Zelda, and then, like, two, you know, dialogue boxes later, you're still agreeing to it. There's no choice but to agree and to do the tasks.
That was a thing with old Final Fantasy games, too. I was playing Final Fantasy IX again recently.
Nice.
Did not like it that much. No. I'm on record, I think, as being a non-apologist for that game. Like, I don't think it's that great.
No.
It's whatever. I was really shocked at how many dialogue options they give you that are completely fucking meaningless. Yeah. Like, it's like, it barely even affects the next line of dialogue, and I'm like, why bother? Why put it in here if it's not going to make any difference?
Well, I mean, the only game where I think I've seen it actually have an effect would probably be the Witcher series of, like, the choices you make.
That was crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, and it literally is, you're like, because the BioWare games, it's so gray. Like, the things you're doing really aren't helping you too much. I remember playing Mass Effect 2 and being like, well, I want to help these guys, but I don't have to, and if I don't have to, then why would I do it? But... it's felt like in The Witcher, specifically in Witcher 2, which I do need to get back to because I still have your copy. It's a great game. And Witcher 3, I'm really scared about picking up that game and being like, oh, I'm not gonna do anything. I'm just gonna play this game forever because it's a big open world, even more so.
It's gonna be really interesting to see what happens with that game.
But Witcher 2 felt that way. It's like, oh, the choices I'm making in terms of who I want to help and how I'm helping them do have an effect on what I'm able to do. And that felt good. It's like the choice means something. And I think that that increases my immersion in it, as opposed to, like you're saying, in some of these Zelda games, which I love quite a bit, but you're really like, nope, I'm just on the path. That's, I can't really do anything besides being on the path.
Yeah, and someone's going to remind me if I'm not doing the task at hand.
Hey. I couldn't believe when I played when I played Witcher 2 the first time, I didn't like it that much.
Yeah.
I was like, God, this is upsetting, and I don't like it. And I realized I had made a choice that I, you know, like, to not give the guy a sword or whatever. I just sort of felt kind of weird about it, and then the rest of the game was, like, so heavily affected. I went down this totally different path, and I was like, helping this king I don't fucking like. I'm working with these people I think are fucking assholes, and I just was like, why am I doing this? And so that by the end of the game, I was like, I didn't really like it. Yeah. And then you find out, like, oh shit, if you make a different choice, it's a completely different game.
Yeah.
And so on my second playthrough, when I did that, I was like, oh, I love this game.
Yeah, and that's good. As opposed to a BioWare game, it still feels like, you know, Mass Effect 2 is still going to end the way Mass Effect 2 ends, even if you get Miranda to like you or not.
Though, I was amazed when that game came out that you could, Shepard could actually die at the end.
Yeah.
Like, if he fucked up enough, he would get killed in that last scene. I'm like, that's crazy. That's awesome. it's so far removed from, you know, the actual ending you get where everyone's alive, which is the best.
Which is
happens.
That was a game that I definitely cheated on where, like, the first time someone died, I was like, nope, go back to the save point and play it through so no one dies. Because I'm like, well, I've invested this much time in it.
Yeah.
I want to get that ending.
Well, and, I remember in Skyrim, I play very differently if I have a companion versus when I don't.
Okay.
Which reminded me of that, because I was like, rarely do I go back on saves unless I'm like, my companion got killed in this stupid thing, so we're going back and we're going to keep doing this so that you survive. Like,
bear attacks you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel so bad. You know what? My first playthrough of Skyrim, I think Lydia died, immediately, and I couldn't find her. I was like, oh, she went somewhere. I don't know where she went. And then months later on the same playthrough, I found her, body somewhere.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, God. That's a terrible thing about Skyrim. The bodies never go away.
They don't go away, no.
Which is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Because you're like, awesome. Oh, right, I remember when I killed that guy.
I hung that guy in the middle of a town square.
There was this blacksmith in one of the towns who got a dragon attacked and, breathed fire on him and died. And I was like, oh, well, that sucks. But now, clearly, I can just take all of this blacksmith stuff. But it still counts as stealing somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because other people know. They yeah. see him.
Yeah, Nicole, he has a family. Okay. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Okay, well, they aren't doing shit with that, what do you call it? Blacksmith place? Blacksmith.
A smithery, a forge. Yes.
Smithy. Smithy, forge.
Ah, yes, let's go.
I thought you were looking
smithy.
For the word for, like, hammer.
Yeah. Like, no.
Nicole, what is wrong with you?
You know, a hammer.
The smashy thing. It,
the
like,
thingy that you use to make of the thingies.
The Soviets love it. That yes. And the like, the sickly, scythe thingy.
Yeah.
The sea knife.
Yes.
The sea knife. See, that's what I call swordfish.
Yes,
it is. Oh, God. I didn't used to stop after 5 minutes in a game, mm-hmm. but as I've gotten older, I've said, hey, you know what? Fuck this game no. a lot more often. Like, Child of Light. I've talked to people who like it.
No.
God, Jesus. Fuck that game, man. Like, as soon as I realized they were, like, just going to keep doing the rhyming mm-hmm. thing the whole time, I was like, I honestly don't give a shit yeah. about this game
anymore.
I
don't want to do this at all. I kind of felt, honestly, I know a lot of people love the Walking Dead games, mm-hmm. but I got really fucking bored of those games real quick because I was like, I can watch a hopeless TV show and it's just happening. It's not happening to me. But if I'm playing a hopeless video game where I know people are going to die and it's going to upset me, I don't yeah. want to do that.
Yeah.
Which is why I love The Wolf Among Us so much more. Because it's like that game is like your investment in that world and when things happen and consequences in that game makes me want to be like, okay, I'm not going to get it in one run, but I'll play that game 6 or 7 times so I can see all the different choices. And that level of completion, I think, is a whole nother level of obsessiveness mm-hmm. of like,
I need to know everything about this
yeah,
world.
Yeah.
Well, that's also, are you like a fan of the Fable comic?
Yes, I think yeah. I am, and I liked that sort of world that way. And I'm not a fan of the Walking Dead TV show, and I'm not a fan of the Walking Dead comics. So.
Yeah. I liked the Walking Dead game only because it made me feel very, like, I was so worried about Clementine the whole
sure.
time.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, season 2 is out, and everyone's mm-hmm. like, it's good, and I'm like, I feel like I had my
you had your moment.
Catharsis
yeah.
mm-hmm. with that game, and I choose to believe
too.
It all winds up okay.
Yeah.
We played that one together, too, and there were many times where I was like, oh, I don't know who to pick, it's gonna be bad either way.
Yeah. Oh, God. It could be rough.
Well, I think that's, again, you have to have that sort of emotional connection with the characters, because if you don't care about Clementine, then you're like, why the fuck yeah. do I worry about this kid? I just want to do my own thing. And that was another game where I was like, oh, these, of the 4 choices I can make, I don't like any of these choices. Why can't I just do my own thing? Why can't I
yeah,
get off of this?
That's what I think is like the next level of these games, is yeah. giving you more freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. Because, like,
where the game will, like, actually really change depending yeah. on, like, a small choice you make.
Yeah. I would say I'm pro-choice in that way.
Very nice.
I'm going to come out and say it. Pro-choice, everybody. Everyone on this podcast has always been pro-choice.
Absolutely.
we're going to get
a gamer's
angry.
Right to choose. A gamer's right to choose is
a
what we're talking
right
about.
A gamer's right to choose.
Yes.
How they respond. Well, have you ever, like, had this thing where, like, in Mass Effect or whatever, it'll be like, a line of dialogue that you're like, okay, I'll say that. And then you say it, and then the character says it just a little bit differently, and mm-hmm. it's like a little bit more like a dick, and you're like, yeah. no, that's not what I meant.
That's not
what
I meant,
and then they're getting pissed off at you, and it's like, no, God fucking, are you kidding?
Like, it was pretty straightforward what I wanted to say, and fucking Shepard said it like an asshole.
Yeah, it's like, you're looking good today, and you know, they'll be like, it's like, you look tired for the last few days. What's going on? It's like, what the fuck? You asshole! you are like Cyrano de Bergerac, and he's Christian, and he's like totally blowing it. And you're just like, oh, God damn it. I mean, that's why I think they eventually just started adding the wheel where it's like, mm-hmm. here's the nice guy thing.
No.
Here's the bad guy thing. Here's the middle ground. Why mm-hmm. would you choose the middle?
Here's the weirdo. You want to be a weirdo?
Here's the smart-ass response.
Well, yeah, because sometimes just written out, it's like, yeah, the delivery is going to be make all the difference in the world as to whether this line sounds sarcastic or sincere.
Yeah. Like, in the KOTOR games, they at least, you said the exact line
yeah.
that was written there. But then, yeah, with Shepard, I think they wanted to give him or her a little
yes.
bit more personality, which is fine, but it got very annoying.
Yeah.
You thought you were choosing one thing, but really he was just being a dick to everyone.
Yeah. Did not care for that.
Shepard, man. What a weird guy. But those games, man, like, I'm going to go back to those games in a couple years, and I'm going to play them again, and I'm like, yeah, I like some of the world, the parts of this world, but Shepard as a protagonist is just a, like a, he just seems like a goon sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
He was just a fucking military goon. He just walked into a world and be like, all right, I'm going to shoot everyone. Like, there was never diplomacy in that game, which was odd.
Yeah. That's, I've been rewatching a lot of Star Trek recently.
Nice.
And I'm like, man, I wish original they played, or I watched the original series, mm-hmm. and now I'm watching Next Generation.
Nice.
And those are always, like, diplomacy or outsmarting mm-hmm. somebody, which is great. And I'm like, man, I wish this was, like, a game beyond, because I think FTL is, like, the closest
yes,
thing to it.
Absolutely.
But even that's, like, it's all combat, mm-hmm. and which is fine. I mean, I love that shit. But it's also, like, you just want something a little bit different where you do have the option to be, like, diplomatic and, like,
yeah.
Cause, yeah, like, maybe there is a no-battle version of this.
Yeah, or, like, a figuring out what they want, you know?
Yeah, exactly,
doing
yeah.
it that way. And there's something, I think there's something to that that doesn't really exist right now. But, like, I have hopes for, you know, games like Heat Signature that's mm-hmm. supposed to be amazing. It's by the guy who made Gunpoint.
Oh, really?
It's like FTL on crack. Because, like, all you pick up is, like, heat signatures of other ships. So you will, like, cut your engines, like, when you're going in so that you, like, can fly in under the
sure.
radar. And then just, like, turn your power on and, like, unload a salvo on somebody.
Oh, awesome.
But, of course, you're, like, let's say you're 10 feet out and you realize, like, oh, shit, I'm going to miss him.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I got to turn my engines on. Or he sees you or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck, turn it on. You
Gunpoint's
know?
A really great game.
I really enjoyed Gunpoint.
Mm-hmm. I love FTL as well.
Such a weird game.
I love seeing people play FTL on, like, iPads, like, on the train. Like, I remember there was a really crowded train, and the guy was playing FTL, and I gave him a thumbs up, and he looked at me like I was a weirdo, and I was like, come on, I can see what you're doing.
Come on, man.
Like, come on.
Come on, dude. If you're going to play the game, get with it.
Yeah.
Listen to the podcast. We talk about FTL all the time.
Wait, I went back and replayed some, played FTL. You're not really replaying it.
Yeah.
It's always different. Mm-hmm. But I was playing FTL again, and I was like, man, this game is so fun.
Yeah.
And just like how every situation, you can go into it totally differently. Sometimes you can really fucked over.
Oh, yeah.
But I was always a big fan of the cloaking device, so yeah. Anytime I can get that, I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. shit, yeah.
FTL is a great way of determining how greedy you are. Because everyone's greedy. You can't say you're not greedy in real life. Everyone's like, oh, no, I'm not greedy. I'm like, yes, you are. But that's a really great game of determining. It's like, how much shit do you want to get involved in, and how much people, like, oh, I'll take your slave, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. It's like, I play that game, and I'm like, yeah, I know I'm a greedy person. Because I play this game the way that I play it.
I like you saying, it's that thing of, like, people saying, oh, you know, I'd much prefer to, like, shop at Whole Foods than, like, mm-hmm. shop at Target or whatever. And it's like, well, yeah, you can afford to, clearly.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah, it's like, I'm not greedy. And it's like, well, you would be if you were fucking poor.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. see how quickly that would change.
Of course, you completely change your attitude. Completely.
It's easy to care when you are comfortable.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
It's like, you could flippantly say stuff like, I'd rather just pay the extra dollar for the, you know, like, the organic option mm-hmm. or the, you know, mm-hmm. like, give a dollar to charity or whatever. And it's like, yeah. Yeah, let's take a little page from the Bible, huh? Mm-hmm. What if it was your last dollar?
Yeah.
Think about that.
Would you do that?
Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Some guest you've been, Nicole.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Unbelievable. We came here to talk about games other than Spelunky.
And yes.
What do you do?
What do I do? Bring it back to Spelunky.
It's a great game.
I find that I'm pretty greedy in Spelunky.
Yeah.
Well, it's a game that encourages greed.
I rob that
greed.
Fucking shopkeeper.
Yeah, well, every time I rob it.
And,
yeah.
Without fail.
And I don't always do that, but I do find myself, like, there have been times I have died because I've been like, I have the jetpack, I'll be fine, the ghost is here, I'm going to just zip up and do this other thing, and then it's like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this for an extra, like, ruby thing? Like,
yeah, but when the ghost shows up, all the rubies turn into diamonds, and then your eyes go into big diamonds like Scrooge McDuck, and you're like, diamonds, I can do this, I'm smarter than the ghost.
Yeah, oh, and then the ghost still, like, screws yeah. with you, and you're like, oh, well, good, mm-hmm. good, I'm glad I did this.
Because the ghost is Gizmo Duck.
Yeah, exactly.
Outsmarted you. Or that genie from the DuckTales movie.
Oh, yeah,
that's a good
Treasure
one.
Of the Lost mm-hmm. Lamp.
That's mm-hmm. hell yeah. That was great. Mm-hmm.
That was a great movie.
Very good movie.
Yeah.
The beginning of that movie was awesome.
Yeah, with Launchpad.
Yeah.
Launchpad? McQuack?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is he all? Yeah.
He's, Launchpad's in everything.
Everyone's fucking Irish in that.
Yeah.
Or Scottish? McQuack? McDuck?
McDuck.
Gizmo Duck.
Gizmo Duck.
Yeah, Gizmo Duck. No surname. No, his last name is Duck. He was Gizmo Duck.
Gizmo McDuck. Yes. But he dropped it at Ellis Island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were like, what are you? You look like a robot. We'll call you Gizmo Duck.
Yeah, Gizmo Duck.
All right. I think we're just about at time. So, Nicole, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Is there anything you'd like to plug while you're here?
Oh, gosh. Yes, I do some shows from time to time. At the Playground, I'm on Ghost Car. Go to the Playground website, which is newly revamped. Check out the calendar. We actually don't have any more shows in December, so don't come see us then. But in January, it's a nice team.
Do not go to the Playground in December.
Don't ever go to the Playground in December.
I mean, like, go to the Playground in December, but not to see Ghost Car.
Right? So don't even bother.
Don't bother.
Stay home then.
There's no more karate bands, so don't even bother.
I won't be there, which is your sole reason for going, clearly. I also do music improv at MCL. I'm doing the Mint season through February, so Wednesday nights at MCL.
Perfect.
Lovely.
And is that's all musical improv?
Yes, all music improv.
Perfect.
Very nice.
And Kellen, do you have anything you would like to plug?
You can come see me at the Annoyance Theater Saturdays at 8 o'clock through the rest of December for It's Christmas, Goddammit, a Christmas show of familiness and yelling. We say words like miscarriage and retard and fuck a lot. So it's pretty irreverent, and so far the audiences have liked it quite a bit. This is the second year we've done it, so it's pretty fun.
So don't bother with the Playground. Go to the Annoyance.
Go to the Annoyance right up the street from the Playground.
Watch some raunchy, pretty offensive sounding material.
And if you like something wholesome, you can see me at the Annoyance Theater at 8 o'clock on Fridays and see the Annoyance Christmas Pageant, which is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and your good band, Charlie Brown, featuring Jeff Murdoch as Charlie Brown, which is incredible.
Yes, I've seen that show in the past, and let me tell you, it was great.
Yes.
Though I'm sad it won't be here without Santa Claus, because Scott Nelson as Mr. White Christmas, the frozen dude.
He's not Heatmeyer, he's Ice
Coldmeyer.
Coldmeyer.
I think it's Miser.
Miser.
Coldmeyer is
his name at Ellis Island.
He used to be Gold in My Ear.
Yes.
And that's Coldmeyer. As for me, let's see. Don't go to the Playground to see me.
Yes.
Instead, go to I.O. Wednesdays at 8 to watch the late 90s, or come to the Blender on Sundays at CIC at 8 o'clock, where Hat will be hosting through December. And then after that, do not go to that show, because we won't be there. You know what? Stay home that night,
too. Don't go to any shows without the three of us.
Yes. Stay home.
If you're going to do that, you're better off just booting up old FTL.
There you go.
And having a good time. Or booting up Spelunky and then wanting to kill somebody.
Yep.
All right.
Clayton, take us out with one of your famous sketch phrases.
Thank you, Kellen.
Absolutely.
I might just do that.
Oh.
All the ladies in the house say, goodbye.
Thanks, everyone.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. For more on the Nerdalogs and our shows, please go to www.nerdalogs.com.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.